Barnabas, encouragement, Christians.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to another episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. David, here we are talking about the church and actually a couple of different congregations of the church. And you and I have been part of a great church, not just now, but even in the past. We've had blessings in that way.
We've had a lot of blessings in that way. We've been talking about the church in Jerusalem. That's figured largely in the book of Acts up to this point. But now we're going to be talking about another important church that's going to figure largely in the latter part of the book of Acts, and that's the church in Antioch.
And Antioch's a big city, isn't it?
It is a big city. There are several Antiochs in the Greco-Roman world, and this one is Antioch of Syria. It was a huge city. In fact, it was the third largest city in that world at that time. Rome was the largest, and the second largest was Alexandria in Egypt. And then in third place comes Antioch of Syria. It's estimated it had a population of about 500,000. By today's standards, it's not a huge city, but back in that time, that was huge. And it's also estimated that there were about 70,000 Jews living in the city.
Maybe we should look back at how the Jerusalem church began to relate to the Antioch church. And I think we'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. Maybe it's something we could read.
Okay. And we'll divide it up. I'll start. You do the middle. I'll finish it.
Good, David, because I think there's some hard names in that last section. So I'm happy for you to read the last one this time.
All right, verse 19 of chapter 11 in the book of Acts. Many of the believers were scattered by the terrible things that happened after Stephen was killed. Some of them went to places as far away as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. They were telling the message to others, but only to Jews. Some of these believers were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, and when they came to Antioch, they spoke also to Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord was helping the believers, and a large group of people believed and turned to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem heard about all of this, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And when they reached Antioch and saw how God had blessed the people, he was glad. He encouraged all the believers in Antioch. He told them, "Never lose your faith. Always obey the Lord with all your hearts." And many people became followers of the Lord. Then Barnabas went to the city of Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Saul and Barnabas met with the church. They taught many people there. In Antioch, the followers were called Christians for the first time.
About that same time, some prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was named Agabus. He stood up and spoke with the help of the Holy Spirit. He said, "A very hard time is coming to the whole world. There will be no food for people to eat." And this happened when Claudius ruled. The followers all decided to help their brothers who lived in Judea. Each one planned to send them as much as he could. They gathered the money and gave it to Barnabas and Saul, who brought it to the elders in Judea. David, I'm thinking we should skip this next section because it talks about what happens in Jerusalem when Barnabas and Saul were there, but it's another story. So let's skip right down to just before the beginning of chapter 13.
All right, chapter 12, verse 25. After Barnabas and Saul finished their task in Jerusalem, they returned to Antioch. John, also called Mark, was with them. In the church at Antioch, there were these prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, also called Niger, Lucius from the city of Cyrene, Manaen, who had grown up with Herod the ruler, and Saul. They were all worshiping the Lord and giving up eating. The Holy Spirit said to them, "Give Barnabas and Saul to me to do a special work. I have chosen them for it." So they gave up eating and prayed. They laid their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them out.
Well, we know a little bit more about the Antioch church now. I've outlined it really in three parts, which is in a way oversimplifying, but this is how I've outlined it. First point, Barnabas and Saul and the Christians at Antioch, and that's Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Second point, sending help to Jerusalem, and that's Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. And the last point I just called ready for mission, Acts chapter 12, verse 25 through chapter 13, verse 3. How's that one sound for you?
Okay, very good. Yeah, thanks. Our story begins at verse 19, and it's interesting that the first few words in verse 19 are the exact same words we read about in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 about this persecution and being scattered. So I think what we're being told is that some of those who were scattered because of the persecution back in chapter 8, they ended up traveling into the surrounding area in Judea and in Samaria. We have the story of Philip and the Samaritans, and then Peter and John going to the Samaritans, and then Philip with the eunuch, and then Peter traveling about preaching the good news in that area. Then we have, of course, Peter going to Caesarea in chapter 10 and preaching the gospel to Cornelius. And so while all that's going on, it's like meanwhile, others who were scattered were going in these places. And so he tells us they went to places as far away as Phoenicia, which is a north of Galilee, and then Cyprus, which is an island in the Mediterranean, and then all the way to Antioch. There's a lot of scattering, but everywhere these Christians or these followers of Jesus were scattered, they were telling others about the Lord Jesus.
Almost everyone they were talking to were other Jews, which would be natural. They were Jews themselves. But when they get to Antioch, here we find they're talking to the Greeks. They're talking to Gentiles as well.
That's amazing. Wasn't Peter that was doing this? It wasn't Saul that was doing this. These are unnamed brothers and sisters who are really the true trailblazers and pioneers who saw this vision of the good news that needed to go out into the world, beyond the Jewish world. And that may seem unusual to us, but back then that was being visionary. If we're Gentiles, and probably most of us listening are, Mary, these are the people we need to thank. These are the people who took the good news out of the Jewish world into the world that we're part of.
And isn't it just perfect? They're unnamed. I'm encouraged by the fact that some of the greatest heroes are actually unknown. They're not famous, but they're doing what they need to do. They're, like you said, they were trailblazers. We don't even know their name, but isn't that encouraging?
It is. But you know what? God knows their name. God knows who they are, and that's what counts. Antioch is on a major crossroads, and that was one reason why it became such a large city. It was a melting pot city with all kinds of peoples living and traveling to and fro from Antioch. There were a large Jewish population. There were all kinds of other Semitic people living there, Persians, Arabians, Romans, Greeks from the different areas. It was truly a melting pot city, and it's here where the gospel is going to go out into the larger Gentile world.
Well, everything's centered in Jerusalem, and now we have Antioch. It's the metropolitan city that we're going to hear about now for a long time throughout the book of Acts. But that's a little bit ahead of the game. When the Jerusalem church hears about all of this that's happening in Antioch, they send Barnabas, one of their own, to go to Antioch. We know of Barnabas as a man of encouragement. He's mentioned earlier as introducing Saul, who's later the Apostle Paul, introducing him to the Jerusalem church and putting in a good word for him. And he's mentioned often, and it's always in a good way and an encouragement kind of way.
Yeah, Barnabas is someone that I would have liked to have met because he appears in the book of Acts at key points. He is a pivotal person, and you mentioned these with Saul, and now when the Jerusalem church is looking to who do we send, Barnabas comes to mind. He goes up and he encourages them. And possibly the church wanted to do this because they wanted to make sure that what they were being taught in Antioch was in conformity to the apostolic teaching about Jesus. Barnabas goes, and it says he sees the evidence of the grace of God in their life. And what was the evidence? Well, perhaps he saw their changed lives. They had turned from their past pagan idolatry to follow God, to follow Jesus. Perhaps he saw how they changed their personal life. He saw evidence of God's grace in their life. And so Barnabas lived up to his name. He encouraged them. In fact, it says he was saying to them, never lose your faith. Always be genuinely and consistently obedient to King Jesus. And that was the message he was telling them. And that's the message that we need to hear too. We need to be encouraged regularly to stick with Jesus. Don't lose faith. Be genuine and tireless in our fellowship of Jesus Christ.
Well, in the city of many Gentiles and in the church with all of these Gentiles, there's one person that comes to Barnabas's mind. He makes a special trip up to Tarsus to get Paul. Well, we know him as Paul, but Saul. We remember Saul was the one that in his former life, he zealously tried to wipe out the Christian faith. He tried to go and hurt people that believed in Jesus, but his whole life changed when he met Jesus. Well, it was during this time at Antioch, amongst all these Gentiles, that it seems like Saul came to the mind of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas had introduced Saul to the church in Jerusalem. Formerly, Saul had tried to persecute and hurt followers of Jesus, but then his whole life changed when he experienced Jesus himself. Well, it seemed like Saul had been hovering in the wings back in his hometown. And so Barnabas goes and gets him. And I'm sure he's thinking, this is going to be the perfect person. This will be a great match. I'm going to get Saul to come to Antioch and we're going to help the church. And they did. They encouraged the church.
And the church continued to grow. And that's maybe why Barnabas decided, I need someone who can help me because it was just too much for one person. So the church continues to grow. There's one thing we need to point out and talk about is they were teaching many people. And then in the latter part of verse 26, we're told that in Antioch, the followers of Jesus were called Christians for the first time. And it stuck because that's the most common designation for followers of Jesus today is Christian.
But it wasn't a positive name at the beginning, was it? Being called a Christian, wasn't that almost a derogatory term at the beginning?
It was. It was a term that was made up by the opponents of these followers of Jesus. It's because the name itself in the original language, in the Greek, suggests that it was a name that was given to people who are followers of different political parties or different people. So yes, it was a put-down name. It was a name that the opponents of these followers of Jesus called them. So it probably suggests also that there were enough of these followers of Jesus for their community even to take notice of them. And the word Christian stuck, but it took a while. In the New Testament, it's only found three times. That might be surprising to many of our listeners, but it's found here in Acts chapter 11. It's found again in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, on the lips of King Agrippa. And then it's found one more time in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. It wasn't until the second century that followers of Jesus began to regularly call themselves Christian. And of course, it stuck. And So at first, though, it was just a put-down name.
I love how Christianity was able to take what was a put-down and make it into a positive, because it just does reflect the fact that people who don't know God, who are unbelievers, they just don't understand. I feel like there are a number of times in this passage where you could almost use the phrase, and meanwhile, in other news, because here we are again. So all of this is happening in the Antioch church. Things are good. People are being encouraged. They're becoming followers of Jesus. And there is a visitor from Jerusalem who happens to be a prophet. And he comes and shares some things that are going to be happening in the near future, some hard times, famine, and some bad times are going to happen. And these brothers and sisters in Antioch had an immediate concern for this other church. They thought about Jerusalem. You know, Barnabas was from Jerusalem, but some of these people may or may not have even ever been there, but they had this love for their fellow Christians in another place, and they were concerned. So I'm so touched how that they chose Barnabas and Saul to travel down to Jerusalem, but along with them, they sent all of these gifts, they sent money, they sent help to their fellow Christians in another city.
That's right. In fact, Jerusalem and Antioch are about 500 kilometers apart, or 310 miles, so that's a big journey to make. This just shows you, again, the spirit of Christ in these people. They're very generous, and we've already read earlier chapters in the book of Acts that God's people are generous to others. We saw that in Barnabas in chapter 4, and now here this whole congregation is showing its generosity to the suffering brothers and sisters in Judea and Jerusalem. There's a sense of solidarity, even though the Antioch church was very different than the Jerusalem church. It was different in its ethnic makeup. It had Jews and Gentiles. Now, the Jerusalem church was made up of Jewish followers of Jesus, so it's very different. And yet, in their diversity, they were demonstrating their unity because of their common devotion to King Jesus.
It does seem like it's during the time that Barnabas and Saul are in Jerusalem that a whole nother event happens involving the Apostle Peter and being imprisoned. And that's in chapter 12, but how about we leave that one, David, for another podcast, because it's a whole story, an event in its own. And then just pick up Barnabas and Saul as they return from Jerusalem and go back to Antioch.
So we're looking at the end of chapter 12, verse 25, and the beginning of chapter 13. They finished their ministry at some point, and so they returned back to Antioch. We're also told that John, also called Mark, was with them, and he's going to figure in this next chapter in the book of Acts. But we're told a little bit about the church in Antioch in the first few verses of chapter 13. We're told that there were prophets and teachers, and there are several names mentioned. We read them earlier, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, and all these names and something about them is given, suggests the diversity of the church. So we know the city was very diverse, and that's reflected in the church. These prophets and teachers are from all different backgrounds, not just ethnic backgrounds, but social backgrounds as well, because one of these grew up with Herod, so he was a higher status than these other people. It was a very diverse church. It's reflected in the leadership. Our story ends today with the church worshiping, giving up eating or fasting. And the Spirit speaks and says, I have a work for Barnabas and Saul. He's chosen Barnabas and Saul to do this work. And so the church laid their hands on them and they sent them out. And that begins what we call the first mission journey. But that's another story.
That's right. So here we've talked about the Antioch church, how it began, how it's in a metropolitan city. It's a mixed church. It's got some prominent leaders in it. It's a very spiritual church. And it does just seem right that they're now positioning themselves to fulfill the Great Commission. They realize that they themselves can be sending out people. And it's through that revelation from the Spirit, they know they've been chosen to do that. So I'm excited to see what's coming up, what happens next, because there are some great adventures ahead.
There are. But right now, let's talk about how this story can relate to children. What can they learn from this story that can help them in their faith?
Well, it's an exciting story. I think it's very relatable. I think children can relate to the idea of the Antioch church because likely they are part of a church, so they understand that setting. But we can talk about that church and how is it the same as our church? How is it different from our church? And it would be an interesting conversation with the kids. Do we encourage people? Are there teachers in our church? Do we send people out to be missionaries? There are a lot of things that can be talked about. We can talk about other congregations, other churches. And when we say congregations, that's kind of not a word everyone uses anyway. It's a churchy word, isn't it? But you and I, when we say congregation, we just mean another group of Christians in another place. We're all in the same church, but they're in a different location. So anyway, that's a sidetrack, but might be helpful to talk about that with children. And I want to talk about encouragement because Barnabas was such an encourager. So good conversation can be had about this. The key word is courage. Sometimes we need courage to do the right thing. So encourage is something we say or do that helps people do the right thing. Children can understand that. I'd probably show a map because there are a few locations here. We've got Jerusalem and Antioch and even Tarsus when Barnabas goes up to Tarsus. So we can look that up on a map. And lastly, I'll just say, just the word Christian, being able to talk about that is really good. There is a great children's song, and I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. But it's I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and then it goes on. So it's a catchy little song, but using the word Christian, I think that would be a fun one to sing in class. What about you, David? What about adults?
Well, many of our listeners will probably be in congregations that are multicultural or there's different kinds of people involved. So I think it would be good to discuss some issues that may come up in a multicultural setting, in a multi-ethnic congregation. What are some issues that may come up and how would you handle them? Because I'm sure the Church of Antioch had to deal with these things at some point. And since we talked about the name Christian today, I think it would be good to talk about that name. How is it used in our world today? In what contexts is it used in a negative way? And in what context is it used in a positive way? I think that could be a good discussion. And you might want to follow up and just get the feel of people. Is it the best name to designate followers of Jesus today? Why or why not? And so those are a few questions, good discussion questions that come out of this text of Scripture.
Being an active member of a local church, a group of believers in one place, is so important, David, to you and I know because we've done it for years together. But if you're listening to this podcast and you are not attached to a church, to a local group of believers, go find one. Go take part because it's a blessing. To do things together in God's kingdom is a blessing and it will be an encouragement to you.
And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.